The Adventure of the Blue Carbuncle. Chapter 1. A Goose and a Bowler Hat. I called on my friend Sherlock Holmes soon after Christmas. He greeted me warmly, and we sat by his cheery fire. It was frosty outside, and I was glad of the warmth. As we sat down, he pointed to an old bowler hat. "An interesting trophy, Watson." "To you, Holmes, I'm sure it is. It was found by Peterson, the commissionaire." I knew Peterson. He wore an official uniform and acted as doorkeeper for the block of apartments in which Holmes lived. Holmes went on. "Peterson was going home late one night when he noticed a tall man in front of him, carrying a goose, no doubt for the Christmas meal. As he reached the corner of Googe Street, he bumped into some rough types coming in the opposite direction. They were drunk, and for some reason a fight looked about to start. The man raised his walking stick to defend himself and smashed a pane of glass behind him. At this point, Peterson came along, and the roughs ran off. In the dark, his uniform probably made him look like a policeman. The tall man ran off too, perhaps thinking that he would be in trouble for breaking the window. Anyway, in the upset, he left behind the goose and the hat, which Peterson bought to me. He knows how I like even a small mystery. So the poor fellow lost his Christmas dinner. It would seem so. Inside the hat there was a label, with the name Mr. Henry Baker. But there are hundreds of people with that name in London. I told Peterson to take the goose himself, but I retained the hat. Holmes offered it to me. "See what you can deduce from it," he said. I looked at the battered object. The red silk lining was now dirty, and though holes had been made for a hat securer, the elastic was missing. The hat was very dusty, and there were some patches where the black had faded. Some of these had been smeared with ink. "I can deduce nothing," I said. Holmes took the hat and gazed at it in a peculiar fashion, which I had seen so many times before. He then said, "The owner used to be well off, but is no more. He used to think ahead, but is now more careless. He is not very fit, probably middle-aged, and his house does not have gas. Oh, and he has grey hair, recently cut, on which he puts lime cream. I doubt that his wife cares for him as much as she used to." "Heavens, Holmes, how can you know all that?" I cried. "This hat is 3 years old. These flat brims, slightly curled, were in fashion then. It is of good quality. Look at the lining. So, he bought an expensive hat 3 years ago. But now it is old." "But he still wears it," I said. "Exactly. So perhaps he has fallen on hard times. He used to take more care than he does now. See the marks for the hat securer. The elastic is now broken, and he has not replaced it. He has become careless. However, the ink marks show that he still makes some effort, as he is trying to hide the fade marks on the outside." "And the other details?" I asked. "If you look closely, you will see the small grey hair ends showing a recent haircut, and you will catch the smell of lime cream. There are marks of moisture, almost certainly sweat. I deduce that someone who perspires so much is not fit. But his wife, you said..." "Ah, yes. Just a guess, Watson. The hat has not been brushed for weeks. What loving wife would allow her husband to go out like that? When I see you in such a hat, I shall know that your wife no longer cares for you." I smiled. "Well, perhaps, but what about the gas, or lack of it? There are a number of tallow stains on the hat. This chap uses candles rather than gaslight." I was amused by Holmes' deductions. "Very interesting, Holmes. What a pity no crime has been committed." As if on cue, the door burst open. It was Peterson. "Mr. Holmes, the goose, sir," he gasped. "Has it come to life and flown away?" asked Holmes. "See here, sir. See what my wife found in its crop." He held out his hand. There, in his palm, was a jewel, a blue stone that shone like a little light. "By Jove!" exclaimed Holmes. "It is the blue carbuncle!" "Not the Countess of Morcar's jewel," I cried. "The one stolen from the Hotel Cosmopolitan?" "Exactly that," said Holmes. "Just a few days ago, John Horner, a plumber, is accused of the crime." He picked up a newspaper and shortly found what he was seeking. According to the news reports, Horner was asked to come and do some minor work in the Countess of Morcar's dressing room. James Ryder, a porter, brought him to the room to do the work, but was then called away for a while. When he came back, he found that the bureau had been forced. The jewel case was open, and it was empty. Ryder gave the alarm, and that evening Horner was arrested. "What did he have to say?" I asked. "He said he was innocent. However, he has a previous conviction for robbery, and he will stand trial next month. The jewel, however, was not found." "Until now?" "Indeed, Watson. Now let us think how far we have got with this little mystery. Here is the jewel. The jewel came from the Goose, and the Goose came from a Mr. Henry Baker. So we must find Mr. Baker, the owner of the hat." I nodded. "The easiest way may be to place an advertisement." He turned to Peterson. "I wonder if you would be so kind." Holmes spent a few moments drafting a short advert. "This will do. Found at the corner of Googe Street, a goose and a black bowler hat. Mr. Henry Baker may have both by applying at 6:30 tomorrow at 221B Baker Street.